So today, I'm going to talk to you about something that I think you all probably already know. How's that? Hey, how are you? I couldn't see the front row from back there. Have you guys heard of something called the Golden Rule? Yeah, almost everybody's heard of that. I don't remember when I heard about it first. It's just one of those things that's so common in our culture, it kind of seems like I've always known it. Somewhere along the way, I've heard it. But in case there's someone here who does not know what the Golden Rule is, it comes from the Bible. One of the places where it is in the Gospels is Luke chapter 6, verse 31. This is the New International Version translation of the Golden Rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Sounds kind of simple. At least when I was a kid, it was kind of simple. When I was a kid, I got it that it meant be kind. Somewhere along the way, when I got a little older, I remember looking at the Golden Rule again, and I was a little more confused. Because as I got older, I saw that we didn't all want the same thing. You know, for example, I have a friend now who loves to bake and loves to give the food that he bakes, and of course he wants us to eat it and love it. Now, he has a great big old tummy. I don't want a great big old tummy. So, you know, what am I going to do when he's baking all of this food and he wants me to eat it and I don't want to eat it? You know, how does this Golden Rule apply? Do to others as you would have them do to you. Well, recently I was contemplating this again, and I went back to the simplicity of my childhood understanding, which was be kind. And do you ever look up in the dictionary a word that you're pretty sure you already know what it means, but suddenly you just feel this prompt to go ahead and look it up anyway? So I used the dictionary that comes with the Mac. I'm not sure which dictionary it is. It might be the Oxford Dictionary, but I'm not sure. It's just the one on my desktop. Double-clicked on it, typed in the word kind, fully expecting it to say something like be nice or something like that. This is what it said. A group of people or things having similar characteristics. What? I mean, okay, I get that. You know, like you know, birds of a feather flock together. They're a kind of bird, right? I get that. But I kept thinking that I would find a definition that said something about being nice to each other. And I kept scrolling. I mean, I really scrolled a long time. There were a lot of definitions for kind. But most of them were most related to a group of people or things having similar characteristics. I had to scroll quite a ways before I did finally get to a definition that said having or showing a friendly, generous, and considerate nature. But since I had to scroll so far to find that definition, it really made me start just contemplating the word kind and the confusion that I found as an adult with the Golden Rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And remember, when I was a child, it was simple. Be nice, you know. Be kind. But when I was older, it got more complicated. Like, what do I do? You know, I mean, I understand that my friend is trying to give me all of these breads and all of these baked goods because it's the way that he extends love. And I understand that he wants me to take it and eat it and love it and then take more and eat it and love it. But I don't want to, you know. So. What's really going on here? And as I really started contemplating it, I realized that as we grow up, supposedly, mature, supposedly, what happens is we start getting all kinds of ideas about what is good and bad, what is right and wrong, how people should be and should not be. And we take on all of these different roles. Like if we get married, you know, and I become a wife, I want to be, you know, maybe the good wife, the cherished wife, the loved wife. And then because I have the role of the good wife, the cherished wife, the loved wife, well, then my husband is supposed to play the role for me of the one who cherishes me, right? Loves me, sees me as great. And when he doesn't do that, well, then what happens? You know, a little, maybe some anger. You know, I think the old saying is he has to sleep in the doghouse or something like that, right? So I started really looking at this, and I thought, what happens? Remember, this definition of kind that I found first, a group of people or things having similar characteristics. We know as children, we are of one kind. I mean, if you watch small children on a playground, they haven't yet developed racial profiles, religious profiles, maybe a little bit of sexual profiles. Girls do this and boys do this. But for the most part, they're of one kind. But as we grow up and we become adults and we develop our many false personalities, false selves, false ideas, false beliefs, we, quote, mature away from one kind. And that's why the golden rule became confusing, right? Because how can you do to others as you would have them do to you when suddenly we're all so different and we want so many different things? I just want to read a couple other quotes from the Bible that really are pointing to the same thing that the golden rule points to. One is from John 13:34. This is when Jesus was being tested by, I think in this case it was the Pharisees. You know, they were always trying to make him wrong because, you know, it's that adult problem, right? They're of one kind, he's of another kind, and we have to prove him wrong, right? So that people respect us and throw him out into the doghouse, right? So they're trying to test Jesus. And, you know, prove in front of everybody how wrong he is. And they ask him, you know, what is the greatest commandment? Thinking he's going to stumble on this one and everybody will see everybody will see that they should be done with him now, right? Jesus responds, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And especially that second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. That sounds an awful lot like do to others as you would have them do to you. He also said at the famous evening called the Last Supper, just before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and surrendered even deeper than Jesus had himself before he was arrested and crucified. In his last conversation with the apostles at the Last Supper, he said, a new command I give you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. So this was a very, very consistent teaching. I want to share with you, there's a woman that I recently discovered. The funny thing is she literally died 2 weeks after I discovered her, so I figured she didn't want anything to do with me. But her name is Bernadette Roberts. Have any of y'all heard of her? She died just in November of 2017. Bernadette Roberts was originally a Carmelite nun who awakened to consciousness and then left the nunnery and continued her awakening path throughout her entire life and reached some pretty high states of awakening. One of her books is called The Experience of No Self. Now, first of all, before I go any further, a part of the problem that we have as adults, again, in our, quote, maturity, is that we've developed many selves. You know, like my boyfriend, like when he gets on the phone with his, you know, business companions, whole different voice, right? You guys know this? Whole different way of standing, whole different way of talking, because that's his business self. You should see him with my dog, Jamie. His, you know, baby talk, and you know, he has all these different selves. We all do, right? So if you think about just the title of her book, The Experience of No Self, that's really dropping all of those false personas that we have developed as we've matured, right? The experience of no self. And if you have the experience of no self, if you've dropped all of your false personas, you're going to get back to that natural spontaneity of the kids in the playground where they're all of one kind. And didn't Jesus say something to us like, in order to inherit the kingdom of heaven, you must become like little children? Is it possible that he meant that we need to look at these false selves that we have adopted as a part of our persona, or maybe many personas, and start letting them go and getting back to the natural spontaneity of the children in the playground so that we're all again of one kind? Well, anyway, Bernadette Roberts' book is called The Experience of No Self. And she says in this book, if we try to complete ourselves by going out to the other, the not I, right? I and not I, right? If we try to complete ourselves by going out to the other, before turning inward to the true other, and this one she has a capital O in her book, we are making a wrong turn. In other words, when we go out to others without developing a deep relationship with the inner other, we are playing those persona games. You know, my job right now is to be the wise, you know, blow you guys away minister. And your job is to be blown away. That's how the false persona works. And we play these games all of the time. And the less of a relationship we have with the inner, as she calls it, other, the more involved in these games we get. Because we're actually trying to prove ourselves as worthy, loved, even safe through all of these outer relationships. But the problem is we can never quite get the other on the outside, the little O other, to play his or her part perfectly, right? Never. I mean, how many of you guys have had the absolutely perfect, you know, marital or romantic relationship where there was never a conflict, ever? Yeah, why are you laughing? Yeah, because it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen because our separate roles, you know, I may have the role of good wife, but he has the role of good husband. And I'm supposed to be telling him how great he is all the time, and he's supposed to be telling me how great I am all the time. And it might work out like that in the beginning, but it just doesn't keep working out like that, which means we're constantly disappointing each other. We're not fulfilling each other. But what Bernadette is saying is if we think the other is supposed to fulfill us in our false roles, then we are making a wrong turn. Right? The fulfillment isn't supposed to come. I remember my daughter, a long time ago, fortunately I did mature past this, but when my daughter was little, I wanted her to be the trophy child. I think a lot of parents go through this. My daughter's adopted. She's from China, so I had her in Chinese school learning Chinese. She was in gymnastics, dance, horseback riding. In addition to that, she had to study math and become the best math kid in the school, and she had to do reading. And why did I want the trophy child? So I could be the good mom. I was playing a role with my 6-year-old kid and expecting her to fulfill her part and be the greatest kid in the world, not just for the sake of being the greatest kid in the world, but so that she could fulfill my role of me as the greatest mom. And unfortunately, I wish this wasn't true, but it is true. There were many nights, I'm going to step away from the microphone because I don't want to hurt anybody, okay? There were many nights that were like this. You need to do this. You need to move over there. You don't have time to waste time here. You need to study math. That's what happened. It really did. I'm embarrassed, but it's what happened. Because she wasn't fulfilling her role. Therefore, I couldn't be fulfilled in mine. So that's what Bernadette means. When she says, if we try to complete ourselves by going out to the other, the not I, before turning inward to the true other, we are making a wrong turn. In fact, she says that this is the core problem in all of our relationships. And she even recommends that we examine these roles that we've taken on and what we expect the other in our life to do so that we can uphold our role. Really bring it to your awareness, maybe through some kind of journaling, because then you'll start to understand what's going wrong in your relationships, whether they're romantic relationships with your parent, with your child, with your employer, with your coworkers. Good employee is another false persona, right? Every employee makes mistakes. Every employee makes mistakes. I've never met a person in my life that didn't make mistakes. Ever. She says, Bernadette Roberts says, it is only when we realize our oneness with the true other that we come upon a unity. Remember that word kind? We're of one kind. It is only when we realize our oneness with the true other that we come upon a unity and wholeness that can withstand the test of all encounters with other selves. We are not fragmented. We do not fall apart, become lost, dependent, or see problems where there are none. And then she goes on to define that true other for us, just in case we aren't quite sure what she's talking about. She says the true other is the still point at the center of our being. The still point at the center of our being. That's where our relationship is to be, in that still point. And when we develop a relationship, or actually it becomes a oneness, at first it's a relationship, it merges into a oneness. But when we develop that relationship with that stillness, what actually happens is that stillness shines out, and it kind of takes over the human psyche. The human psyche was the one that had all of the false roles. But at some point, it kind of radiates out, and it takes over the human psyche where I no longer have those false roles. In fact, the word that really describes the only role I have, once it takes over the human psyche, is I am, right? I am, or I be, I'm present, I'm here, right? In the moment. And when we have dropped all of those false roles and we are simply the I am, there's this amazing sense of well-being that comes into play too. It's not logical. You guys have heard of the peace that passes understanding. It's not logical because to the outer observer, my life could be falling apart right now. You know, things could be happening that other people are like, oh my God, I'm glad that's not happening to me. And I don't know how things are going to work out. But because I now no longer have all of the false roles that I have to try and uphold while everything is falling apart, there's just this sense of well-being, this knowing of I am, and therefore this knowing that things are going to continue to manifest and unfold, and I can't tell you what they're going to be, but it's going to be fine. And when I have that sense of I am, and I have that sense of well-being, then I am ready for any relationship with any person. Because they don't have to play roles for me anymore. They can be who they are. They can act as they are. And I'm ready to be generous of spirit with them. I'm ready to let them be as they are. I'm ready to take away all expectations. I don't need anything from them to uphold my false roles. I'm ready to be in peace in this relationship, or what does sometimes happen is the other person doesn't really want peace because they might still want you to play, you know, the role you were supposed to play. So they might want to leave, but I'm okay with that too. I can have a peaceful, I don't know if we should call it adult or childlike relationship. Or I can let people go their own way. And in fact, if we look back at what Jesus said when the Pharisees were trying to trick him, and they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? Notice what the first commandment was, the first greatest, the highest. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So he was saying the same thing that Bernadette Roberts says. First, go in. First, develop that relationship. First, become of one kind with God. First, become of one kind with the God. And then, the second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, which really means love your neighbor as God, right? So do to others as you would have them do to you then really means have a relationship inwardly with God and then be that spontaneous self as God moves you to be. From that deep, still point from within, from that clear psyche that has dropped false roles, that doesn't expect you to fulfill me or you to tell me how great I am, right? Be of one kind. Be of one kind. No more separation. The true other is the still point at the center of our being. When we come to know the still point at the center of our being, and we spend time with the still point at the center of our being, and we fall in love with the still point at the center of our being, we literally merge with the still point at the center of our being, and we become the still point. That's the manifestation of God in this world. The still point. And it's from this state where we are able to be generous with others, give them their freedom, and finally, be kind. And again, that second definition of kind, which I finally found by scrolling down, 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 was having or showing a friendly, generous, and considerate nature. And we can do that with our kind, because there's no conflicts anymore. And again, this doesn't mean that others now have to start playing the role of like-minded people. I was telling everyone before I came today that I have a boyfriend named Ron, which, you know, Sally knows. She says, oh, I thought Ron would come with you today. And I said, no. I said, when I asked Ron if he wanted to come with me, he made a face like I'd asked him to eat liver and onions or something. My boyfriend is a Catholic. He goes to church every Sunday. He's also, politically, he thinks completely different than I do. We have been together now for, well, in February, we celebrate our 27-year anniversary. The reason that this relationship works, and by the way, we don't fight. I can't remember the last fight. It would have been teens of years ago, like 13 to 17. I don't know exactly, a long, long, long time ago. And the reason we don't is because I've learned this lesson. I've learned to focus on my relationship with God, the still point, and let him be who he is. And when he just bees who he is, and I don't get in the way, it's a nice relationship, even if our religious and political philosophies are opposite. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Don't you want people to let you have your religious and your political philosophies? So why wouldn't we let someone else have their religious and their political philosophies? Do these really separate us, or are we really one kind? What's true? I'll leave you with that. Thank you.